Let's turn in our Bibles now to Acts chapter 27, if you will. Acts chapter 27. We'll begin reading with verse 9 as we look at the shipwreck at Mileta, an occasion that took place in the life of the Apostle Paul. Paul, you know, had gone through some accusations that were not true. He dealt with Felix, he dealt with Agrippa and some others, the religious leaders. And then they were going to take action that was unlawful. He said, I'm a Roman citizen and I want to go to Rome. I appeal to Caesar. And so now he has left Caesarea and headed in that area going up to Rome, headed west. And as he was going, he was there with some other criminals, so-called, on that boat, the centurion with 100 soldiers, the captain and the crew, and they were headed toward Rome, eventually going there. Now in verse 9 he says, Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them, this is the man of God, admonished them, and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenicia, and there to winter, which is an haven of Crete, and lie toward the southwest and northwest. And when the south winds or south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind. We would probably call it a hurricane, called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive, and running under a certain island which is called Clodia, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, strake sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and by the way, back then, that's the only thing they had to guide them. They didn't see the sun or the stars, know those things. They didn't know where they were going or where they were, really. And so when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them. Where do you reckon Paul had been? I have an idea. He'd been praying, talking to the Lord. And he said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me. You should have listened to me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this arm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit we must be cast upon a certain island, but when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms, or about 90 feet. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon the rocks, they cast 4 anchors out on the stern and wished for the day. Now we see a number of things that take place in this biblical account that God has given us. The first thing we notice is the sensible warning that Paul gave to them. Paul gave them a warning, and he knew what God had shown him. And this was a very reasonable warning. It was based on his experience. And he told them that it was dangerous for them to leave during that time. He admonished them. He really got emotional about it to some degree. And he said, this voyage, not only will it be much hurt, much damage, but the lading, the ship, but also of our lives. He said, I'm warning you, don't do this. I am the apostle, the man of God. And Paul knew what it was to be shipwrecked. He had had three occasions already where Paul was shipwrecked. If you can imagine being out in the middle of the ocean, nowhere close to an island in some cases, and yet he was shipwrecked. 2 Corinthians 11:25, thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep. Night and the day he was out in the ocean. That'd be sort of frightening, wouldn't it? And Paul didn't want to experience that again, and he was telling them they shouldn't go, that he had had the wide experience of knowing those things. So that was a very reasonable request, wasn't it? It's reasonable when a preacher gets up and tells you you ought to get saved. It's reasonable and wise that you listen to him and tell him you want to escape hell, that you want to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior so you won't have to die and face an eternity apart from God. But what did they do? Well, they did like so many people do. They rejected the man of God's message. In verse 11, nevertheless, even though Paul knew that, and they had a great deal of respect for Paul, even the centurion, nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. The man of God told him not to go. And he said, well, I've got some other logic. I have some other rationalization. I have some other thinking. And so I've listened to the captain of the ship, and I believe we're going to go ahead and go because I think he knows what he's talking about. And so we have people today who, rather than listening to the simple gospel, listen to many other things and many other voices that lead them away from the truth of the Word of God. Sometimes they listen to science and so-called scholarship. And the scientists say there is no God. We've never found him out there. We went to the moon. We didn't see him anywhere. How God must laugh at such silliness on the part of scientists and those who are supposedly the scholars and the experts. They talk about the positioning and learning in life. And they'll talk to people about that and say, you don't need to believe in Christ, you need to listen to us. Rather than the voice of the humble believer, the simple person who knows by experience what it is to be saved and knows the forgiveness of God, they'll listen to the philosophers, they'll listen to the professors, they'll listen to the educators, they'll listen to the psychologists and the psychiatrists and the scientists and others, but they just refuse to listen to the gospel message, the simple message from the man of God. They take Darwin over Moses. I'd rather believe what Moses said than what Darwin said. They will take the scientists over the saint any day, and that's when they get in trouble. And may I say to you that all of them that believe that are losers. They lose, just like these people are going to lose. Well, then you have the seducing winds that come in verse 13. When the south wind blew softly, notice everything is good here. The south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. They said, hey, everything's going well, and the south winds are blowing, now let's go. Paul, the man of God, said, no, let's don't go. And the soft winds, that represents favorable circumstances. The soft winds were blowing. And many times in our lives, the soft winds lure us away from the truth, pull us away from God and what we need. And often these things are the deciding factors in the guidance of our life because circumstances are going well right now. I'd suggest to you that circumstances can change just like that. I mean, just like that. You never know what's going to happen in a day's period of time. My wife and I were coming to church the other night, and as we had were getting off of Allsbury Street and getting on the access road, we were getting ready to get on the interstate, and all of a sudden, right in front of us, I mean right in front of us, we were the next car, a man got hit by a truck and just rolled him up, and well, I don't know if he lived, I don't know if he died. I'm not sure. I tried to check the newspapers, watch the news. All I know is his hand was quivering, and all of a sudden it quit, and we saw that. You see, you don't know what a day is going to bring. You don't know what's out there. It may seem like it's going real well today. You may not have any problems and difficulties, but that could change very much. And you need to be able to know what God says and to know the will of God. And let that be the deciding factor. Let those things be the deciding factors, not these other things. We have a lot of voices telling us what to do. We have our conscience, an inner consciousness that we have, or an inner voice of conviction. And that's what would many times give us normal reasoning, what would be expected in rationalizing. And then inner feelings. Well, I just feel this way about it, and I just feel that this is the right thing to do. And instead of really weighing out the issue, we don't weigh it out like we should. Or considering the facts, we don't consider the facts. We go by our inner feelings and sometimes the counsel of what should be our friends who would tell us, no, you go ahead and do this and don't worry about that. Instead of listening to God and God's man, we make up our minds based on these other things. There would be the voice of circumstances. And I can tell you that God can open doors. He does that. But let me also tell you that the devil can open some doors. He can make the soft, warm winds blow your way so that you think everything's okay and that you don't have anything to worry about. Satan can open those doors. Sometimes I've seen people in our churches who say they have a golden opportunity. And they rather, I think, instead of really seeking God's face, they're in a good church, they have their family in a good church, and just so they can make a little more money, they'll transfer and go to another city and not find a good church, get out of church, quit serving God. Something's wrong with that picture. It's the voice of circumstances, and it may not always be your circumstances that should guide you in what you do. Timing is always important with God, too. Don't forget, timing is important with God. Satan always seems to be pushing, but God never seems to work that way. God doesn't seem to really push us to do those things. And Satan is the one that usually says, go by your impulses. And if you don't do it now, it's now or never. Get it now. Reminds you of these car sales ads on television. If you don't get it today while it's on sale, you're going to miss everything next week. We've got a sale. If you don't get it this week, you're going to miss everything. Next month, the same way. And the devil lies to us about all of those things. I've seen people get head over heels in debt simply because they didn't listen to God's principles, God's man, and what God told them to do. And they went by their own intuition and their feelings and their emotions. And that would not necessarily be the right thing to do because many of them regret it. Here's what we should do. We should go by the Word of God. This is what should be our, this is the black print. We talk about blueprints for building buildings. This is the black print of life. And if you'll go by the black print of life, you're never going to regret it. And you need to listen to that rather than the inner voice and the voice of your conscience. This idea, let your conscience be your guide. Friend, let me tell you, that'll get you in a lot of trouble. But you let the Word of God guide you. And I don't mean just flipping through the Bible randomly, just say, well, I'm going to throw it open here and throw it open here and see what it says. That's not the best way to go through the Word of God. God can show us His will in a very spectacular way. God can do that, but He does it in His time, and we ought to wait upon the Lord in prayer and systematically slow down and search the Scriptures and see what God has to say about it. And so much is spelled out in the Scripture, isn't it? How do we know the will of God? People ask me sometimes, preacher, how can I know the will of God? My first answer to them is go by the Word of God. Most of the time, if we go by the Word of God, we sort of don't have to worry about some of these other things. If we'll just do what God has said in the Bible. We know the Word of God says, don't lie. Amen? Don't steal. Don't commit adultery. Don't be involved in fornication. Don't be unequally yoked. A saved person should not marry an unsaved person. I've had people get very mad at me for making that statement. All I can tell you is take it up with God. God said it in His Word. Businessmen should not be unequally yoked together. You'll get in trouble. And that's the Word of God, the will of God. And we know about church attendance. We ought to go to church. Amen? Amen? People ought to go to church. They ought to be in church. And forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. That means you should be back tonight, unless you're providentially hindered. Oh me, amen, one or the other. But that's the Word of God. That's what God says. It's not just what I say. And so we know what the Bible says. Oh, but some people just don't want it. Oh, I've heard that preacher, and you're making me mad saying that. You better understand that that's God. That's God's Word, God's will, and we go by the Word of God if we want to have the blessings of God and on our life and have God be pleased with what we're doing. It's all spelled out in the Word of God. And so it is spelled out in the matter of salvation. Well, I say to you, you need to get saved today if you're not saved. And you say, well, you don't even know me. How do you know that? How do you know I ought to get saved today? Because the Bible says you should. Now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. So there's no other question about it. You ought to get saved today. You should not leave this building lost, unsaved. How do I know that? God says that He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should turn to repentance and come to Christ over and over and over again. The time to get saved is always now in the Word of God, and the Bible confirms those things. The Bible must confirm it if we want to have conviction about it. It's not the voice of personal conviction or circumstances, but it is the voice of the Word of God. And you notice the centurion and the guy who was running the boat, who owned the boat, both of them had the voice of reasoning and conviction and circumstances and all of that. And they ignored what Paul said, and they were totally, absolutely wrong. Don't ignore the Word of God. Never decide on things in your life of major decisions, really of minor decisions too, without the Word of God. That's why everybody needs to be in the Word. Amen. We need to have our quiet time. We need to spend time every day with God. If you're too busy to spend time every day with God in the Bible, then friend, you're just absolutely too busy. Your priorities are wrong. You're all messed up. You need to get back to the Word of God. That's how you're going to know the will of God and know how to live your life. It's through the man of God and the Word of God. Well, notice that because they didn't listen to the man of God, there was stress. Look at verse 20. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. They didn't listen to the man of God. And they rationalized it and came up with their own idea. And then all of a sudden they realized, oh my, we're in a predicament. We cannot see the sun. We cannot see the stars. All of these days have passed. We don't even know where we are. And there was that fading hope that they wished they had, but they said, all hope that we should be saved is taken away. And so it is that people get themselves in a mess like that, and their heart is not right with God, and they're lost in their lost condition. And so they refuse God, and they get their life all messed up. You know, if you'll listen to God and do what God says, you won't get your life all messed up. You may have some trials, surely you will, but your life will be a life of victory and a life of power. And note the chastening that came to them in verse 21. They realized, man, things are not what they should be, and we all hope is gone. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them. And he said to them, sirs, you should have listened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and have gained this harm and this loss. You should have listened to me, but you didn't. Now you're in a predicament. And how many people get into that place because they do not listen to the Word of God? And we have many illustrations of that in the world today. The United Nations is one. Our country is another. Personal problems that you have, philosophers and psychologists and others, all messed up because they don't listen to the Word of God. and we see them on television, they pontificate about what we should do and what shouldn't be done, and it's so far from the truth of the Word of God that it's really a joke. It's really silly. But then there's this note of cheer, verse 22 and following. He said, "And now I exhort you to be of good cheer." And they're thinking, we're out here, we're lost, we don't know where we are, and a storm and all that, and you're telling us to be of good cheer? "For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I fear." Now, Paul knew what was going to happen. By the way, God is sovereign, amen? God had already told Paul, you're going to go to Rome, so you don't have to worry about it. You're going to get there. Doesn't matter what the conditions are. Remember always that God is in charge of everything. The Eurocladon and anything else. God is sovereign. God is in charge. And so Paul had that assurance. The angel of the Lord, the angel of God stood by him and reminded him. And he said, this is whose I am and whom I serve. I belong to him and I serve him. He's the one that has told me all about this. And so he said the ship is going to be lost and there's going to be a high price to pay. You're going to lose all the lading. They finally threw away the meal. They threw away everything that was not battened down on that ship. They just got rid of it and threw it all away to lighten the load on the ship. But God had a purpose in all of that. And he explains that where he talks about him going before Caesar. He said, saying, "Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God." I like what Paul said right there. I like exactly what he said. There was a note of challenge, all of this, but God had a purpose for Paul. God wanted Paul to go and preach to Caesar. God wanted Paul to go and preach the gospel there to those who would be watching him. God wanted Paul to give the gospel there to Rome. And that was God's purpose, to go before Caesar. Nero, to think that God would even have enough grace to have Paul witness to Nero is beyond my ability of comprehension. But he was able to do that. And then Nero, Paul was released in 62 A.D., In 64 A.D., Nero burned Rome, and in 68 A.D., Paul was back in the Roman Mamertine prison, and he was decapitated, his head was taken off, but Nero committed suicide. Now, who was right and who needed it? God's grace, God's mercy. Nero should have listened to the man of God. Then note the challenge. There was a note of challenge to them in verse 25, where he said, "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer." I want you to be cheered. I have good news for you. I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Paul said, I believe God. Now, who you believe in or whom you believe and what you believe is important. If you believe the wrong thing, you'll go to hell and you will not get to heaven. If you listen to the wrong person or the wrong persons, you will die in your lost condition and never make it to heaven. And the devil is a master at lying. Go back to the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve. And God said, thou shalt surely die. If you eat of this fruit, thou shalt surely die. And what did the devil do? He changed, added one word. Just one word. And he said, thou shalt not surely die. Only one word made the difference, and we've been paying the price ever since. The reason some of you are tired right now and want me to hurry up and get through preaching is because of Adam's transgression. One word, thou shalt not surely die, and all the future of humanity was affected because of that. And so you're going to listen to Moses, God, or you're going to listen to Darwin? Which, that's the most ridiculous thing in the world. You're going to listen to man, Darwin, who says rather that man is on an upward spiral and we came from the tadpole on through. Once it was a tadpole long and thin, then it was a bullfrog with my tail tucked in, then it was a monkey hanging from a tree, now I'm a professor with a PhD. Amen. right? That one's been around a while, but I like it, so I quote it every once in a while. Man is not on an upward spiral. Man is depraved. You're a sinner. You need salvation. You need Christ. You need God. You need Jesus. Paul said, I believe God. I want to tell you something. I do too. How about you? I believe God. Well, then there was further horror, verses 27 and 28. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down, notice that, driven up and down in Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country. They sounded the alarms and they set out where there was like 100 plus feet, and then all of a sudden it was 90 feet. And what they deemed was not necessarily the best thing for them. But he gave them this further horror of where they were and the condition they were in. And that is a description of man without God. Man without God is just like that, up and down, up and down. I was listening to a message coming to church this morning, or maybe while I was getting ready, and they were talking about why do unsaved people do what they do? It's their nature. It's their nature to do what they do. And he gave an illustration of a scorpion and a turtle. Some of you may have heard it. But he said the scorpion was talking to the turtle and said, I can't get on the other side. Would you let me ride on your back? And the turtle said, oh, you think I'm dumb? I'm not going to let you ride on my back because I know we'd get halfway over there and you'd sting me and they'd kill me. And he said, you're not thinking to the turtle, the scorpion says, you're not thinking. And he said, I don't want to drown any more than you want to drown. And he said, well, that makes sense. Hop on. And they started across about middle of the way. The scorpion stung it. And as the turtle was going down gurgling, he said, I thought you said you wouldn't do that. He said, I couldn't help it. It's just my nature. And that's the way sinful people are. Why do they act the way they act? Because it's just their nature. Man is on a downward drift, not an upward spiral. And we know that species, there's that argument that species have all evolved from common ancestor. But God says, and he says it 10 times in Genesis 1, after its kind, K-I-N-D. No change from kind to kind. There may be some changes within the kind, but no change from kind to kind. Paul said, I believe God, and I believe him about that. I believe when God created man, he created man just like he said. When he created Eve, he created her just like he said. That's the kind of God that is really God, the real God, the true God. But man without Christ is up and down, never satisfied. It doesn't matter what they would do. If that horse had won that race yesterday, that man would have been satisfied for a little while. He's already won two, and he wasn't satisfied with those. Multi-millionaire. You see, an unsaved man, I don't know if he's saved or not, but it's typical of an unsaved person. They're up and down. You know why? Because Satan controls them. It's just their nature. And Paul represents revelation. He represents the rapture. He represents salvation. All of that. Now look at what they discovered. Go back to verse 28. They sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again, found it 15 fathoms. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast 4 anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. We'll talk about 4 anchors another time, but they discovered that they were going to be cast upon the rocks. And what they really desired was they wished for the day. They wished for the day. They wanted to see the sunlight. They wanted to see something good. Friend, I'm telling you today, you can see something good. Do you wish for the day? Do you want Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you do, you can have it today. You're headed for the rocks. You're headed for a shipwreck. You won't be as blessed as these men because of Paul that got to the island. You'll die without Jesus and you'll spend eternity separated from Him. I beg you today not to wait. Listen to the Word of God. Listen to the man of God. Come to Jesus Christ while you have an opportunity. Come now before you're on shipwreck. God will save you if you'll do it. Would you stand, please? May I say to you too that are saved, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Sometimes we get off course. Sometimes we don't listen to the Word of God as saved people. And we get these things in our lives. We don't obey God. And I'm telling you that you're headed for some trouble if you don't get rid of those sins in your life, those practices. That you think the warm winds are blowing and nothing's happened yet and you're just drifting along in your sinful way. Friend, it will catch up with you. It will. You need to judge that in your life today too. Father, speak to our hearts. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for this story, this biblical truth of something that happened to Paul and what it teaches us today. I pray that unsaved people here today would hear the Word of God, the man of God that tells them Jesus loves them, they can be saved if they'll trust Him as Savior. And I pray that somebody, man, woman, boy, girl, today, a couple maybe that are here, maybe even a whole family that would come as Daddy leads them to receive Christ as Savior. May your will be done. And we who are Christians, help us to be honest with ourselves, lest we find ourselves in shipwreck, in a predicament that we didn't want. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. While we sing, may God help you to come as He leads you. Would you do it? Unsaved person, come to be saved. Christian, coming to make things right with God. We're dedicating your life to Him. To fail to do so is to ask for the storms. Maybe going smooth now, but it'll change. And we'll hear the Word of God. Come, just step out from where you are and come. I want to be saved. I want to get things right with God.